My aim in life is the only desire worth finding. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. My aim in life is the only desire worth finding. I do a lot of counseling on the phone with various people and do a lot of counseling in person with many people. And in that process, I have a chance to check with them about what their aim in life is. And it's really quite amazing. Thank you. It's quite amazing how people's aims in life are non-existent. They want this, they want that, they want the other thing. They don't really know what they want. And they want the dog in the house, and they want the dog out of the house. They want the dog in their arms, they want the dog out of their arms. They want the baby in their arms, they want the baby out of their arms. They want the baby to mind, they say the baby mind perfectly, and they know it doesn't, and they just are unhappy with themselves because they're not creating what they want. But my aim in life is the only desire worth finding. Now, what is your aim in life? And don't answer me, because you're going to be wrong. My aim in life is to be in all divine right order. My aim in life is to live in divine right order. My aim in life is to have divine right order, divine order, divine order, divine order in everything I do. In everything I say, in everything I think, in everything I act upon. Divine order. When I am cleaning up the house, divine order. Oh my God, it's got to be so sick and bad. Forget that. Divine order doesn't know dirt. Do you know that? It only knows cleanliness. Divine order doesn't know disorder. How about that? It only knows order. When we allow ourselves to follow our real aim, and that is the aim of living in divine order, everything that we could ever imagine for ourselves is demonstrated. But to the degree, that our life is not in divine order, to that degree, we have problems. Really. So if you have any problems whatsoever in your life, no matter what they may be, just know that somewhere you're not in divine right order. Especially probably your thinking. That's the biggest play. But start putting yourself in divine right order in every area. Now, I talk a lot to our staff here on campus and the people who talk to me on the phone about one little thing. One big thing. It's called the proboscis, you know, that's that nose. And they keep getting their nose in their business and other people's business. Well, get your nose out of your business and out of other... Get your nose out of your own business? That's right. You say, all is in divine order, and divine order is what you should be in, and your nose is not going to get you there. Because your nose is relative. Your nose is for the ordinary, everyday activity of your life, the way you see things being done. Your nose... This is the history of my family. These are the genes and chromosomes of my family. This is what it is. Fantastic. You know, they have a new device out now, which I found most charming and perhaps alarming. The new device is quite special. It covers only a small segment of the society's needs, but it's quite special. It's called a do-it-yourself AIDS testing kit that takes 10 minutes. Do it yourself AIDS testing kit that takes 10 minutes. Now, anyone who thinks they have AIDS or wants to make sure that they don't before they get married or something, they have to wait several weeks before the AIDS test comes back from the laboratory. It's just that that's the way things are designed to be done. And that is about 85 to 90% accurate. Even there's some misaccuracy. Well, now, this new test being put out on the market, over the counter, for anybody, is 90% accurate, they say. Now, what else do you want, you know? So, if a person fears they might have been exposed to this from a toilet seat someplace or something like that, you know, if they feel they might have been exposed to it, they can take this test, and be 90% sure that they don't. Of course, if you have unprotected sex, you would like to be more than 90% sure that you're you didn't get someone pregnant, you know. So that's another story. But you see, my aim in life is the only desire worth finding. Little by little, we're finding out all these things that are totally unnecessary. Now you say, you mean I could speak my word and say I don't have AIDS? No, I didn't say you could speak your word and say you don't have AIDS. I said you could speak your word and say you have perfect health. You're whole and perfect. It's the moment we start naming and claiming things, then we empower them to be an experience in our life. The law, as we have learned over and over again, does not know the word no. So I am not something. The law says I am something. So be careful. Be careful and keep your aim square away. If our friend, Moses' name, who was shooting the apple off his son's head?
William Tell.
If William Tell doubted his aim, where would he have hit it? He didn't want to hit his kid in the head with the arrow. So he didn't concentrate on his kid's head. He concentrated on the apple. And anytime you want to do anything, you concentrate on what you want to do, not what you don't want to do. So my aim in life is I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. My aim in life is I follow my divine order, my divine right order, my divine purpose, my divine... How do you know what it is? You don't. Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. You don't. But the divine in you knows. And if you turn to the divine in you and say, okay, divine in me, take over. That's God in you as you. There's a lot of impact coming up in recent months with the I Am God concept that we have been promoting. And people all over the world are saying, you know, that's what I believe. That's what I know. That's what I understand. And hey, it's so wonderful that somebody is finally saying it right out in the open, you know. And of course, there'll be a lot of people who won't agree with that. A lot of people who say, oh, you can't do that. You cannot say, I am God, because that's blasphemy. Well, I tell you this, please listen closely. It is blasphemy to say that there is anywhere where God is not. Mm-hmm. And wherever God is, all that God is present there. All that God is. You can't have a part of God. You can't have a little bit of God. You can't have part of goodness. You can't be partly pregnant. You know that. Well, then stop playing the game and think that part of God can be someplace. I mean, God is certainly grander than any human attitude we might ever have, you know. So let's get over that nonsense. Get over that nonsense. It's been with us a long time. This is what the church has taught us for years, not because it is, they taught us not that God is not in us. They taught us that not because it's not true, but just remember, the reason Papa and Mama tell you stories at times are to get your attention. They want to control you. They want to manipulate you. They want to say, now, you do your work or the boogeyman's going to get you. You know, you've heard that. You know, you do what's right or I'm going to send the police out to pick you up. I mean, my gosh, we make the police into an ogre. Yeah. And the police are a law enforcement agency that is doing good for us. And if we think of them in a terrible way, well, we shall certainly enjoy a terrible relationship with them. Why do so many children get in trouble with the police? Because their parents have used the police as a boogeyman for them. It's a shame. If not their parents, maybe their friends, maybe the associates of these children. Maybe that they've had it in their home and they sort of spread it around the neighborhood, you know. And it's just like Santa Claus. It gets spread all over the place, and then some wise little kid comes along and says, I know who Santa Claus is. You do? It's my daddy. Your daddy comes to my house and brings me presents? Oh, no, no, no. My daddy brings me presents. Your daddy brings you presents. Yeah. And there goes Santa Claus. Yeah. Well, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we have taken away from this child, this recognition that there is a power greater than he's been experiencing that can be used in his life to bring joy and goodness to him, what does he do? He writes a letter to Santa Claus and says, Santa, I would like to have this. Well, now, can he write a letter to Papa? Dear Papa, you know, I can't talk to you because you don't listen to me, but I'm writing you a letter. Now, this is what I want for Christmas. Dang, dang, dang. And Papa says, what do you think? I made of money, you know? But you write to Santa Claus. And then Dad moves heaven and earth to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But you write to Dad, and he says, how can I ever? Because once you've written to Santa, you're not putting the responsibility on Dad, even though he's got it. And it's a wonderful thing. You have to know your priorities. You got to know your directions and how you put causes in motion. Because if you're going to deal on the human level and you put causes in motion, you have to be very, very gentle. You deal on a spiritual level and there's no gentleness there. I am whole and perfect. I am wonderful. I am fantastic. I am glorious. And you dance around and you march around and you sing these things. And the divine in you says, go, man, go. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Speak it, speak it, speak it. And then our aim is real. Now, do you have the courage to do that? Nope. So you go out in the hills here and say, I'm home perfect. I'm home. You shout to the hills. And that's good. Because the hills will rejoice with your shouting. Because the hills will sing back to you, go for it. Go for it. You got it. I believe she's got it, you know. That's wonderful. But this is what life is all about. Having our aims and having our aims pure and beautiful. All is in divine order in my life. All is in divine order in my creation's life. Now, do you think that Ellen says her son is her creation? Well, she never thought of it quite like that. She never thought that he was the model of her mental attitude. But he is. He is the model of her mental attitude, miserable as it is. And the miserable mental attitude is that we have to eat. Huh? That's what you teach him. We have to breathe, you know. We have to do all these things. We have to go to school. We have to do all these things. But if you were a brilliant being, divinely inspired, listening to the divine in you, you know what you would say to your son? Just say, son, I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer. Just say, I know all things. Just say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Wow, 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 you know? And would he have a good time? Would he? Could he ever be hurt? Would he have an Achilles heel? No. Because you didn't dip him with your finger holding his heel. You dipped him with your consciousness. And he was all dipped. Bare naked, dipped totally in his divinity, in his reality. And everything he does is wonderful. Everything he thinks is wonderful. Everything he chose to live in a human body, in a human world, from a divine perspective. Now, you tried to teach him unkindly that he is living in a human body, in a human world, from a human perspective. And now we want to raise our level of perspective to the divine. My aim in life is the only desire worth finding. Now my aim in life is to be myself and have fun. My aim in life is to live from my highest and my most wonderful perspective, my divine perspective. And if any of you will just open your eyes to your divine perspective, you'll say, wow, I could have had this all along, and I didn't take it. I could have been fabulous all along, and I didn't take it. What a shame. No, no, no. Now is the time. Now is the time that you've accepted it. Now is the time that you know it. Now is the time you enjoy it. It's never too late. Now is the time. You're never too old. You're never too young. Now is the time. When I was 21, I had the idea of starting this church and starting these organizations. And that was 1948. I was ready to go. Wow, 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 wow. And then I talked to my elders. I talked to responsible people. And they all said, well, you should be educated more first. You should go to this here. You should go to Unity School of Christianity. You should go to Chicago Theological Seminary. You should go to Marquette University. So I did all those things, you know. And no place did I feel comfortable. Because I was doing the outer show, and I wasn't doing the inner show. But the moment I started doing my inner show, poof, I was happy as a lark. I always had been a happy person, but I was really happy because I didn't have to read a book to get ideas to talk about. I just listened within, and every library of the world was open to me. Every idea, every thought, every imaginative thing was just ready to flow out in perfect harmony. And this is where we are. This is listening to our divinity. This is all in divine right order. Now, as I say, I told Ellen that that's a poor way that she created her kid. I said, why don't you create him in his divine right order? And she says, But I have to remind, I don't have to do nothing. All I have to do is recognize that he's living in his divine right order. And he does everything right and perfect and good and beautiful because he's my son. He's fantastic. You see? You get your big nose out of there and let the divine in him, in you, respond in beautiful harmony, and everything is perfect. What's your son doing these days?
Having fun.
Your son's living in divine right order? Oh, I'm so happy about that. Your son's living in... You see, here, I just got done telling her, divine right order, and then she says he's having fun in a human way. He's being himself and having fun. You see, that's the issue. You're being yourself and having fun. You're being yourself. You're not having fun by other people's definitions. You're being yourself and having fun. This is a big, big feature here. And he is living in divine right order. That was what I was trying to draw out of you. I want you, 99 and 99, 100% of the time, to be thinking that divine right order is the only thing that's on your mind. And every time you think of anything, it's in divine right order. Anytime you think of anybody, they're in divine right order. Anytime you think of any dream or desire you have, it's in divine right order. We heard about a young child who we had baptized recently who moved on to another dimension in life. And they said that he moved on to a higher and greater expression, which makes the parents feel good. But what did the child do? He just moved into another dimension. We have no idea whether it's higher or lower or anything, but all we do know is everything is in divine right order. We don't try to understand, he's now with the angels in heaven, and he's not with the angels in heaven. He is with the divine right order. He is doing whatever his next act is. He came here to be a blessing to his family for a short time, and then he moved on. You understand? And what he's doing and where he's going, you don't know, I don't know. We could make guesses, but we would surely be wrong because we're guessing from the human level. Now, my God, that kid was a fabulous kid to in that, what, it's less than a year and a few months.
A year and a few months.
He was old enough for us to baptize him, remember? That was back last year in October, and now it's, okay, a few months. So he's just a few months old. Well, he's very good to accomplish all that he wanted to accomplish in those few months that he was here.
That's right.
Fabulous being. I'm so happy we had a chance to baptize him.
Yes.
Wonderful. And how do we baptize him?
Whole and perfect.
We baptized him to live in his highest and best, to be the spiritual master he is, expressing himself in all divine right order. I don't believe ever say that you're whole and perfect because there's nothing unperfect and unwhole about them. We say we're whole and perfect when we have something we need to refresh our consciousness about. But this little pumpkin, we just said about him that he is a divine being and he's expressing his divinity in every beautiful way. That's what I said to all of them,
yeah.
You know. And every one of them, as soon as I got done baptizing the children, the parents came up and said, do me. And that's wonderful. And they're smart. Ooh, they're smart. Not that they needed to be baptized. But I told them what the meaning of their name was and what the purpose of their name was and what their dedication in life could be fulfilling their name. And their name was divine. And they just were happy as could be. And I was happy as today. dusting flowers on their head and telling them beautiful things. And you can be as happy as you wish to be. It's fantastic. My aim in life is the only desire worth finding. Ingeborg, how are Ellen's kids doing?
Super. All in divine order.
Thank you, Ingeborg, for coming up with it by yourself. Wonderful. I teach you again and again and again and again, have the right statement. Now, we read a thesis from a beautiful lady last night at supper time, and the thesis was an exquisite work of art, but it was not one of our theses, because we say when you write the thesis, let it be taken from what you learned in the book. And if you had read the book 21 times each chapter, each week, you would have taken some of the terminology from the book, and not one word of our terminology was used in that report. Not one word. There's only one place where it says, I am God, God I am. And that was because she read it in the GIST magazine in her psychologist's office. Now, you see, we have to be careful. No matter how beautifully people write, if they really didn't do the course properly, if they really didn't read it 3 times a day for 7 days, they did not change their mental attitude about all of these limitations that they've had all of their life. Here you are, 20 years and better with me, and I say to you the simple thing, all is in divine order, and I say, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, and then I say, now, how is your son?
In divine order.
Oh my God, she got it, she got it. But you see, these are spect words. These are words that mean the direction we're going. Now, you don't have to be a copycat of what I'm teaching you or what we're teaching you. But the thing is, if you are taking a course in physics, you're just naturally going to use the words that are common to the course in physics that you've taken. You're going to use some outlandish words that the average person has no idea what they mean, and you think that everybody knows it because you know it, you know, which is wonderful. But you're going to use the words of your training. You're going to use the words of your course. And I think this is something we have to instill in the people, that they may pull the wool over their eyes by saying they've taken the course, but they don't pull it over our eyes because we are too aware of what indicators are there showing whether they're following the course or not. And we are not here giving out degrees. We are here giving out the path to the inner awareness within each person. And if each person doesn't take that path to their inner awareness, they can go to the $5 degree places and pay $5 and have a beautiful degree saying anything they want on it, you know. And if that's all they want, if they want to come here and walk their spiritual path and become more tuned into their spiritual path, including you guys, if that's what you want, then that's great. Now, we have a young man who is interested in coming to be on campus, and he has been recommended highly by a number of different people, and he's had different problems, but he's a good guy. And so he wants to come to campus. And so I don't think anyone else has said this to him, so I will have to say it to him. I will have to say, when you come to campus, there is one major thing expected of you, that the reason you're here is to walk your spiritual path. You're not here to take your talents and work on the computers. You're not here to take your talents and work on putting tile down or taking care of the yard or taking care of anything. That is all totally just part of the training program. The training program is to walk your spiritual path harmoniously, beautifully, and perfectly now. You're not here to work for the university. What you do for the university is just a training program. I must tell you this, and I want you to hear this with all my heart. I worked in Silent Unity as a student minister. And I worked under May Rowland, one of the worst witches you ever saw in your life. And I love her dearly. She was mean to us. Oh, she was mean to us. She would make us, there was no automatic typing at that time. She would make us type envelopes first with the addresses to whom the letters were to go from Silent Unity. And we could not have one error on that typed envelope. We had to throw it away. We couldn't erase it. We couldn't delete it. Not one error. And if we had too many errors, we could not be a minister. Ooh, we could not take that training. This was a discipline that she was showing us. And she was tough. Oh, she was tough. But we'll never forget her. And we'll love her to the day of eternity, you know. But the thing is, then, we type perfect letters. No more in the wastebasket. No more ripped up in our coat pocket. We type perfect envelopes. Then we had to type the letters. Every letter had to be typed from beginning to end, even though it was a form letter, and even though all we did was put their names in the right places, you know. We had to type that letter. And it could have no errors on it. What a privilege to be trained like that. Oh, we didn't like it. We were deathly opposed to it. We complained about her in our private talks with each other and stuff like that, and how what a witch she was and so forth. And then later on we realized that she was the angel of our life, drawing out of us our perfection, making us be as perfect as we can be. And when I left Silent Unity and left my training down there to go on to work in the different churches, I could do nothing but have the greatest respect for her. And when I was with the Science of Mind magazine as the associate editor, I had a lady who was my assistant who had been there 25 years before I came. And she knew the ropes. That's Gertie Dooley. And she was another witch. Oh, she demanded, she said, this magazine cannot go out with one error in it. It has to be absolutely correct. And I was used to publishing newspapers and magazines where an error went by now and then, no big deal. You know, every day you put it out, you know, you don't have time to be perfect. Although we should have. And she demanded perfection. And I was just, grinding my teeth over her. But as weeks went by, and I became that which she trained me to be, a perfectionist, I thought to myself, what a gift. What a precious gift. And I told her that it was a precious gift. When I left to take over another church, I told her that. And then I was writing books for myself. And so I contacted Gertie to be my editor of my books, to make sure they were absolutely perfect. But unfortunately, she had a stroke and she wasn't able to do anything. But I waited too long. But I didn't wait too long to say thank you and to appreciate it all my life. Now, you see, the tough people in our life, we hate them with a passion until we grow up and realize that we created them to train us to be our finest and best, to expect only the best out of us. That's tough sometimes, but it's the greatest gift that any of us could ever have. Well, you have a lovely day. Been wonderful chatting with you this day and giving you the thought for today. My aim in life is the only desire worth finding. I love you. I love you. I love you.